Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me again on this Saturday evening for an abbreviated session of Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. As I told you all last week, we will not be back to our regular schedule until week after next. Because next week is, of course, our first annual Women's Summit, and this year our focus is domestic violence prevention. And this particular week, I want to touch base on some of our participants for our first annual summit. We do have, as always, you know, that our infamous tagline is Real People, Real Stories, Real Hurts, and Real Healing. The summit is going to touch on quite a few issues, mainly when you are in need of help and you feel as though help is not readily available to you, or when you feel as though the system is failing you. We will have plenty of resources there for you next week, as well as several guest speakers. Hold on one moment. I believe we have one of our guests coming on right now. Hey,
hello.
Hey.
Hey, Sister Soldier. How you doing?
How are you? Now, you know that you're the real Sister Soldier. I'm glad you joined me here this evening. I was just about to tell our listeners about some of the speakers that we have for the summit. Coming up next week, of course, this is Angela the Voice Davis. She will be speaking this coming Saturday, September the 11th. Our program starts at 4 o'clock sharp. We will be beginning the programs, and Angela is one of our keynote speakers on that day. Give me one second, Angela. We're going to come right back to you. Actress and author Latricia Hendricks. She's going to speak on how domestic violence played into her bout with suicidal thoughts. Sunshine King, she's going to speak about how she went from a fallen victim of domestic violence to a fierce model on wheels and an entrepreneur. Reverend Denise Folks, she's going to be speaking to our young people about the thin line between cute and controlling behavior that has the potential to lead to domestic violence in the future. And, of course, you know, it's a subject, this is a touchy subject, period, but one of the things that we will be speaking about is when the abuse does not make it. And our guest keynote speaker will be Reverend Wayne S. Price from the Center for True Justice and Healing. And he will speak about being the ones left behind after the loss of that friend and loved one to a violent homicide. I'll also be speaking, pulling up the rear, ending out our program before we go into our Q&A session with our entire guest speaker panelist. And we're just going to tie it up very nicely, and then you will have a chance. We do have specific vendors that will be with us and certain other participants that will be singing for us. We have Miss Natalie Tarver, who will be, you know, just spreading her joy through song. And we have several ladies, Miss Adrienne Richardson and Miss Michelle Johnson, who will be doing their spoken word as well. But this is a time for us to not only give information on where you can go for help, but it's time to hear these real stories from real people who have made it through that storm so that you can understand the severity of this crime. And, you know, but for the grace of God, we're all standing for this event on September the 11th, and we're still here, but there are so many that have come along that did not make it. So we have to start shedding light on this, because in this economy now, a lot of people don't know how to deal with the stress and the heartache. So they are turning to violence in many ways and using whatever they can as an excuse to harm one another. And this means women harming men as well as men harming women, women harming women, men harming men. It's all the same hurt knows no boundaries. So again, with that said, we hope that you'll all be joining us next week for our first annual Women's Summit for Domestic Violence Prevention at the Randallstown Community Center at 3505 Resource Drive, Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. Any more information, feel free to give me a call at 443-865-4211. Now, back to my sister here, the true sister soldier and the voice of all voices, Miss Angela Davis. We had been speaking earlier, Angela, about how, you know, just when things seem to come together, you know, Satan seems to throw us a wrench in the system. And, you know, for me, if it wasn't my, you know, my head is still killing me. What's this, week three or something? And now if I sound like I'm talking funny, it's because my asthma is kicking in, so I have to keep taking breaths every so many words because I'm really feeling quite interesting today especially. But I'm not going to let that deter me. And, you know, one thing that I love about you is the fact that you know how to bring it all back into perspective. It's amazing how we seem to be able to say what the next person seems to hear, and then sometimes we seem like lost sheep out in the wilderness ourselves, but we can help others. And, you know, to listen to you talk sometimes, it's just an uplifting experience for me, because you're such a strong sister and you're such a powerful sister. And, you know, you just have this knack for bringing it all together. So I hope that our listeners will come out and hear what you have to say, because your story is paramount and it's pivotal. And, you know, I'm looking forward to sitting down as well and hearing it in whatever detail you want to tell. So other than that, I know that, you know, Satan has been busy and the devil is a lie. But we're going to make it happen. You there?
Yes, yes. We sure are going to make it happen. And it's by God's saving grace.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And we wanted, I had, of course, invited you, if you'd like to call in. Our number is 646-478-4726. And I would welcome you to call in if you have a testimony today or you just want someone to listen. Feel free. We realize that this task that we're taking on is still a bit of a taboo subject across the board, because so many people don't want this type of dirty laundry to be aired. It's almost, you know, amazing to me that so many people just are not ready. And hopefully by all of us coming together and sitting down with them, you know, at eye-to-eye level, telling them our stories, it'll help, you know, in the long run for someone else. And, you know, really, really, I want to thank you so much, because believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Angela has been such a big support throughout this process. And, you know, up until a few weeks ago, she didn't know me from Eve. And, you know, our friendship grew, before anything else, and then it just rolled along from there. So, you know, again, you need to come out and hear the voice and listen to this lady's story, and also join me and listen to the rest of our guest panelist stories as well. And hopefully you will get something from it, and either you'll find your voice and let it be heard, or you'll be able to help someone who you know or you suspect is going through some type of domestic violence situation. So, Angela, how are the babies tonight? How are my babies? Because she has the sweetest.
Oh, they are great. They are great. They actually sleeping. Thank you, God. My nephew is up. But I want to clarify, I want to share that I'm just so excited to share my story on September the 11th. It is truly an honor for you to have me out on this heart-filling subject, you know, domestic violence, you know. It is really attacking the homes. It is creeping in the homes of people, and it's serious. Every 15 seconds, a woman is being beaten. So this is a serious, serious topic, domestic violence. And I just want to thank you for having this event. And one thing I want to share with you, Maria, God will give you the desires of your heart, because you do have a heart for people. And he is really smiling down on you because how you have the love for people. So keep doing what you're doing for sisters and brothers all around the world that's suffering with any type of abuse.
You know, I just feel, and thank you so much for saying that, because, you know, like I tell so many people, and you've heard it, and I know I've wore your ear out saying, I'm tired, you know, I'm tired. I don't feel well, I'm tired, but I'm going to keep moving forward until I can't move forward anymore, because I really do feel as though this is what God put me here for. And, you know, to put, you know, and to find so many good people. You know, in this time when I started, you know, taking on this task, I said, I know that it's an uphill battle, because so many people, either they don't care because it hasn't happened to them, or, you know, God willing, it never does, but then they won't care until it does happen to them. And, you know, but for those that are out there looking for those answers, they're not going to get it from a textbook junkie. They have to get it from people. First and foremost, they need to know that they're not alone. And the only way, you know, there's something to be said when people say, you know, you haven't walked a mile in my shoes. And we're a bunch of people who have walked that mile. We've walked every inch of that mile and longer. So we know what you're going through. You know, we know this. And, you know, to hear even the stories that have been shared in, what, the last few weeks, I think you were featured, what, 2 weeks ago. And to hear, you know, more of your story. And then the following week, we had more of our participants come on to share their story, whether it was in the chat room or whether they called in. And it was just such an uplifting experience. But in the same breath, it's very heartfelt, and it's very it weighs on you to a degree, because to hear some of the hurt and the pain that some people have endured and come through. You know, we had a, I don't know, I know that you may have missed last week's show, but we had a guest on, a first-time caller, Ms. Coretta, and her defending herself from her first husband, she defended herself, and she ended up going to jail. And while she was in jail for defending herself against him, he was home selling everything out of their house because he had a hidden drug problem. And, you know, it's just so disheartening, you know, when you look at the system and you see what we go through. It is just so amazing. It's just so amazing.
Yes.
And I'd like to welcome all of our callers who are calling in our call query. If you'd like to be on air, please press 1 on your phone, and that'll let me know that you'd like to be on air. And, you know, we'd certainly love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments. We do have a caller online, caller 1629. Hold on, we're going to see who this is just to say hello. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. This is Michelle.
Uh-huh, I know the laugh. This is Michelle. You're on air with Angela and Maria. Angela's here as well.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Angela, I hope you remember Michelle from our first meeting. She's the, ladies and gentlemen, she's the techno whiz here. Michelle, now, you know, of course, I'll get it wrong, so why don't you tell our listeners who you are, what your company is, and tell them all the great things that you do, because she's like the real techno, and I may teach computers to a degree, but this lady does all of the intricate work that I just don't do. So we're going to let Michelle tell you all about that.
Okay, well, my company is Johnson Technical Services, LLC, and basically we do computer repair, upgrade installations, office setup. We also do training on computer software, whether it's Microsoft Office or financial software like QuickBooks. And we're really geared towards small businesses, but I also work with individuals. And we, in addition to all of that, we do tax preparation for businesses and individuals as well.
And Michelle will be one of our featured, not only one of our featured vendors at the event on September the 11th, but she'll also be rocking the mic with her spoken word. I've been trying to coerce her into, you know, spitting a tad bit for us so that we can get all pumped up about it. But it's okay, you know. I'll let you wait.
Well, I want to come on with the full force at the event. I don't want to wet your whistle now and then, you know.
That's okay. I'll let you off the hook. But you know, I was just telling Angela that, and you know, we've had this discussion quite a bit this week that, you know, it seems like we're all on the mission to do something good and positive, and this week it just seems like Satan has been ultra busy this week.
Oh, yeah. Petey.
Oh, my goodness. It has been a very, very interesting and rough week all the way around. And, Angela, I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but Michelle and I, we had gone out, a few days ago. We had lunch.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
And, oh, my goodness, after lunch, we held hands and we said a prayer. And we were up in the middle of this restaurant and we were saying a prayer. And then after we prayed, after we got done, you know, with our prayer, a gentleman walked up and he said, could you pray for me, out of the clear blue. And then it went from that. That wasn't the end of it. And then a lady walked over and she was from, where was she from, Barbados or the Bahamas?
The Bahamas, I believe.
Okay. One of those bees, you know. She had a nice accent, and she said that she was an evangelist, and God told her to come over and pray for all of us. And she stood up, and she prayed a prayer over all of us, all four of us. And, you know, that particular day, it was just so, you know, you come in, and you're feeling down about all your life's woes, but when we left, it was so uplifting. It was like God was sitting right there at that table with us. And, you know, it was just such a good feeling. And I think we all needed that day. And I think that it's the same premise here. You know, it's so amazing that when we all get together like this, whether it be two of us or three of us, I just get that energy and I get that boost of energy. And, you know, for that one small moment, I guess my adrenaline gets going and my head stops hurting for like 5.2 seconds. And I'm like, yes, I can do this. And then, of course, you know, when I come down off of this high that you all bring to me, of course, my head comes back, but it just tells me, you know what, your head may be hurting, but the way that you feel now, keep moving forward. And that's exactly what we're going to do, and we're going to rock this thing next week. And like I said, we're going to help somebody somewhere. And we're going to keep moving forward no matter what, no matter what. Because God put us together, this whole group of us. It's not about any one person. Together, we're this whole big entity. And together, we're going to move mountains. And that's the most, you know, interesting and wonderful thing about this, is that together we can make such great things happen. And when we get to that point where we're ready to throw in the towel, we can, you know, contact each other to bring each other back on track. Because I've even had it this week where for a small second, I was like, you know what, maybe I should just give this up. And then I said, no, you know, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, ladies, I just want you all to know how much I appreciate you, you know, and we the way that we all came together and the similarities that we have in common is just so amazing.
So, Maria, are you still, I'm sorry, are you still going on tour?
Yeah, most definitely. As soon as this is over and I start getting all of that together, because that's a whole nother process in itself, when I was talking to my manager and things, we have a whole schedule. My manager puts out a whole working plan, so to speak, and then from the working plan, we start going down the steps to get ready for the tour. First thing I have to do is finish my book. You know, I have one book, but now I have to finish the new one. And I'm going to keep doing local tour, you know, local speaking engagements. And then by that time, you know, I told you how you and I and if, you know, Nichelle is not working and things, you know, we are going to be traveling along the East Coast, at least down to the Carolinas, that I do know. It's getting late in the year, so right now we're in what we call the preparation stage, you know, and once we, you know, the planning and the preparation stage. So by maybe the end of this year or pretty much spring of next year, we'll be ready to spring into action, so to speak, and we'll be ready to hit the road, definitely on the larger tour. But right now, I'm working on things where we can move around and get our base up and everyone get acclimated to that particular lifestyle, because it's interesting, to say the least. Because once you get on the road, you have to get past wanting to be home and in your own bed. And it's very much it's a lifestyle that you really do have to get used to. So, again, we're in the planning and preparation stage for that. But, yeah, that's not going anywhere. We're going to keep moving this forward and onward until we hit each and every state here. And then, you know, we'll work on going elsewhere. So, yeah.
Maria,
definitely.
Hello. Maria, this is Nichelle. I just wanted to say, you know, whatever it is I can do to help or be a part of that, I would love to. I'll just put that out there right now so that you know. But I really wanted to say that, you know, just being able, you talked about the lunch that we had the other day, just being able to sit there and watch you while you spoke to somebody and you spoke into their life, and you know who I'm talking about. But just witnessing that and, you know, I mean, everybody cannot do that. And just to see you do it, it was just awesome to watch you in action. And so I cannot wait until the 11th, because I know when you speak forth, it's going to definitely be something for a lot of people, that's what I really believe, is going to be something that whatever you are going to say is going to help somebody there. I don't know how many and I don't know who, but I definitely believe that's the truth. So I'm very excited and I can't wait for the event. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you so much. And, you know, it's the weirdest thing because, you know me, I always tell people, I don't know what it is. I'm just me. And it just comes out. When I speak, I don't do scripts. It just comes out. And if someone is there and they need to hear something, I guess in that respect, me and God have this direct line. And I'm like, if I need to be the vessel to get the point across, then so be it. But, you know, when I spoke to that person, it's just it just seemed like it's what she had to hear. I don't know.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's the weirdest thing. It's just this whatever it is. And I, like I said, it's the bat that has no name. And you know, I never know. And people say, well, what are you gonna say? I always tell them, I don't know. I don't know until it needs to be said. And when it needs to be said, trust me, I'm gonna say it. So, you know, and I thank you because that's, you know, nobody's ever really come right out and put it the way that you put it. And I guess, you know, you're on the outside looking in and, you know, it doesn't, you know how it is, it's just me, so I don't even give it any thought. It just does. And, you know, and she spoke about that again, and I said, wow. And it didn't dawn on me till the day when she said 12 years. And I'm like, 12? You know, and I have no clue.
Right.
If somebody said, well, what'd you do? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. And, you know, Angela, that was a very powerful lunch meeting that we had. It was just someone that was here with us, and she was obviously, once again, going through something. And I didn't even know the whole story. I just knew a small piece of it. And from what I heard, then I felt the need to tell her what, like I told her, I said, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I think I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And
exactly.
Then, you know, it went from there. And I think from what I'm understanding is that that's exactly what she needed to hear. And, you know, but again, people, you'd have to come out and see it for yourself because I don't know what it is. I just do it. You know, I'm a bit of a nut, but I get my point across. You know, so I really don't know, but thank you, Michelle, for putting that out there. And again, Angela, the voice Davis, she's really being groomed and prepared for this now. And are you there, Angela?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My nephew was talking. What'd you say, sister?
No, I was saying that you're being groomed and prepared for this mission of moving forward and onward, you know, and I told Angela, and now Michelle is on board, but we're going places. We're going to do some things. You know, and each one of us has a story, and none of the speakers next week, the outcome, yes, is domestic violence, but each one of our stories is remarkably different. It is remarkably different. And each one of our stories, someone listening can get something out of it. Because what we have to say is just that intense, it's powerful. And one thing that Angela had brought up earlier, and I went through it myself, is that, you know, sometimes when temptation and Satan is busy in our lives, you know, I sat back earlier too, Angela, I wanted to tell you that, and I went through that, it's all coming back to me again. And for that one moment, I'm like, wait, I've said this before, now all of a sudden today, when all of it came back to me and all of the hurt came back, it was almost like I couldn't breathe. You know, I should have called 911. My head started killing me. I'm like, what is this? This isn't the first time that I've told this story. You know, this isn't the first time that I've relived this.
God.
You know, and all of a sudden it just hit me. And I'm like, wow, you know, and when you were saying it, I was just like, wow, yes, that's it. You know, that's it. And I said, me, I'm the leader of this, and I went through it. And I'm like, girl, when you said it, I was like, you don't understand. Satan has hit us across the board this week. Everybody hit Michelle, hit you, hit me. And it's like, well, somebody is trying to stop this. Somebody is trying to stop this from going forward. Fear, when they're trying to stop it with force, and we can't let it happen. And I'm so glad that, you know, whenever anybody, and I'm going to, you know, well, you all know I'll spill out my heart on you know, our little social networking site and just tell everybody, you know, what I'm going through and how I'm feeling, and when Satan just, ooh. Yeah, he's been carrying on this week, but you'd think he would be tired by now because we're not faltering and we're not moving. But I'm like, can't you find somebody else to mess with? Why? Leave. Jeez, take a nap. Do something. But, you know, it's just. You know,
Marie, this is Michelle again. I just wanted to say that I actually heard, I don't even know who it was or where I heard it at this week. But I think it was actually at an event that I was attending. But anyway, what the person said is that, you know, there are pieces of coal, and unless pressure and fire is put on the piece of coal, then it'll never become a diamond. And I've heard that before just in different ways, but when she said, when the person that was speaking, when she said it this week, you know, it really just dawned on me with all the issues and the things that, you know, we go through day in, day out. This week is good. Next week is not so great. Things are, you know, they seem like they're out of control with so much pressure on us. And, you know, we still have to live out everyday life, do what we need to do. Then, you know, it does. It refines you. It brings some things out. It purifies you so that you can do what it is, whatever your purpose is. And I really am seeing that, and I'm believing that and taking that to heart lately because, you know, it, one is because the pressure has been on, and two is because I see how even though the pressure's been on, that things have, you know, opened up for me. My eyes have opened to a lot of things, and then a lot of things have happened, a lot of things have occurred because I have taken that challenge on and come through it. So I just give that to, you know, everybody that, you know, we are going to be under pressure. We are going to have to be tried by fire. Some things are going to go on, but just remember that those things are getting you ready for whatever it is you need to do, and that everything that's happening to you is going to end up being your story to help somebody else. So that's just where I'm at right now.
And I can most definitely agree with that because bad things do happen to good people. And me, personally, just celebrating my 5 years of sobriety, no alcohol, and going through a lot of adversity in my life, such as being arrested for child abuse. My life is an open book, you all. You know, I'm a walking testimony and pure and holy vessel for the Lord. So I was arrested for child abuse. However, I didn't take a drink from that. They came back in my house with a search warrant 2 days ago after I've been arrested, been in court twice. You know, and still, I'm still facing my abuser because my abuser is the children's father, the one that had got me arrested. And I'm an overcomer. But I'm a overcomer by his blood, you know. It's because of Jesus Christ is why I'm standing. I haven't lost my mind.
Right.
And I also forgave my abuser of 19 years. I forgave him because if I hadn't forgave him, I would be truly lost. So, yes, bad things happen to good people. And like I was sharing with Maria before you got on the phone, Michelle, we were talking earlier, and I was telling her, you know, life shows up. Things been happening in my life for the last couple weeks, things that I haven't even shared with Maria. And I could have backed down, but for what? That's what the enemy want me to do. He don't want me to go out there and share my story with a victim, but I'm going to share it anyway because Satan is a liar. Because I want to show the victims that they too can be victorious. It is hope, you know, for victims out there. They don't have to be a victim no more. They can be victorious. So I'm going to continue to go through my adversity. I'm going to go through, stand, and overcome my trials, temptations, and tests. Because bad things does happen to good people. And God knows my heart. I am a good person by nature and towards other people. You know, so I can truly understand that life going to show up if you're a Christian or non-Christian. I just rather go through the storm with God than without them. Someone needs to hear all of our stories. Everybody has their own story that has made them still the person that they are today.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a success, and I am excited.
Yes, yes. And I wanted to add that, you know, I've had a few people say, well, why would you want to do it on September the 11th? That is a story within that. And as the ladies already know, all of the participants know, but September the 11th is the day before my 47th birthday, which is September the 12th. On that day, that is my day of renewal. That is the day that I stand up the day before on September the 11th and say, you know what, to my husband, my abuser, I forgive you. To the neighbor's daughter who, you know, tempted him and he fell for it and they decided to get together, I forgive her. Because until I forgive, I can't move forward. Because me carrying around that stress and all of that makes me more miserable. And see, and my husband has to reap what he's sown. And every day that neighbor looks at me and I don't walk up to her and slap the mess out of her, curse her out and give her what she wants, that just makes her feel worse. Because every day she has to look in the mirror and know what she did. And, you know, eventually, again, she will reap what she has sown. Because what goes around will come around. If you start something like that, eventually it's going to happen. The vicious cycle is going to continue again. So that's something that she will have to live with. And, you know, and he'll have to live with. But I do forgive him because to a degree I think that there was more going on with my husband than even, you know, I could fathom. But it doesn't justify what he did. But, you know, I have to learn how to let it go and forgive for what he did and move forward. So that's the story behind the September the 11th date. It is the day before my birthday, and it is the day of renewal. You know, people, a lot of my friends, and I even have family members whose birthdays are on September the 11th. And, of course, one of the young ladies who's doing the cupcake therapy, she'll have her gourmet cupcakes there as well for you all to sample. We learned that she and myself have the same birthday on September the 12th. So each one of us, Angela and I, we found out that we knew people that I had worked with many, many years ago, and we found that we had that in common with Michelle and I. You know, we used to work together, and then after one job closed and we were done, we worked together again. So, and now we're working together some more, and we're moving forward now, and we're about to make some very great things happen. So with each of us, there's a story within the story. And one day when we all get together after this, I'm going to do a mini documentary on us where we can sit down and we can bring it all together so that our listeners and our viewers then will be able to see, well, these are people that came from different parts of the city, different parts of everything, and somehow we each had some common goal or some commonality that brought us together, that brought us together. So we're all here now. And, you know, that's a story for another day, another summit, and probably some of our other activities we will be forming after the summit. But you will get to know all of us very well. And, again, we have about 4 minutes because this was our abbreviated show. I did extend it to 45 minutes from my usual 15-minute show. But
can I just share one thing?
Uh-huh. Sure.
I wanted to also share that my book will be coming out January about my life story, how I spent it in the inner city, you know, destructive trappings of Baltimore, Maryland, and it's going to be a powerful testimony of my life. So be looking out for it. Restoration by Angela Davis, folks. Thank you.
Oh, did I get the first interview?
Ma'am?
I said, do I get dibs on the first interview?
What you mean?
You know I interviewed authors on my show.
Oh, did yeah, you can. Yes. I thought I told you my book was. Oh, see, my mentor know. My mentor know that my book coming out January.
You just told me your real email address the other day. Come on, man.
Oh, that's not nice. You know you my girl. You my sister soldier.
But, we have about 3 minutes left in this show, but I tell you, yeah.
Marie.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I share something? I just want to read a little something that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be really quick. But this one is just something I had to put on paper, you know, when you go through those situations with men sometimes.
Right, right.
It doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth. So,
so wait, let me hold you, Michelle. We have about 2 minutes. What we're going to do is go into our after, and don't anybody hang up because we can still listen to the show and it will be archived because I don't want to rush you because the on-air part will go off, but then when people listen to the download, they can hear the whole thing because we have a little less than 2 minutes left, and I want to make sure that you get all of this in. And once we go off, it will be it'll go into the after part, the after party. Oh my goodness, the after show.
After party.
So that when people,
Jesus. Yes, say that again. After show.
When they
you know how the world thinks.
We will be able to hear it in its entirety. So, before we go off live air, I want to say, of course, please join us next week, September the 11th, from 4 to 8:30 for our first annual Healing Through Hurt Women's Summit for Domestic Violence Prevention. We will be at the Randallstown Community Center, located at 3505 Resource Drive, Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. If you need any more information or you have any questions, please give me a call at 443-865-4211 or email me at contact@thewallfoundationinc.org. Again, I want to thank you all for joining us on this abbreviated show. We will be still here. You'll be able to hear the show in its entirety in our download. We have about 54 seconds to go. Again, I am Maria Wall, your host, and, of course, tonight our guest panelists are Ms. Angela the Voice Davis and Michelle Johnson. You will be meeting all of us in the flesh next week at our first annual Women's Summit. With our focus this year is domestic violence prevention, but as always, we will be back in 2 weeks with more real people, real stories, real hurt, and real healing. Again, please check back in a few moments for our after show. We will see you. We will be back in about 10 seconds. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay, great.
Yes, I'm here.
We're all still here. Great. Okay. Go ahead, Michelle. Now, we are into what's called our after show. So we're going to pick up where we left off, and, of course, all of our listeners will be able to hear this in its entirety in the download. So go ahead. I'm ready. Oh, good. She's going to – Angela, we got to get to this. I've been waiting for this for a long time now. Go ahead.
This is just one of my some pieces I write just when I'm feeling something. I just write something down just to get it off my chest. It's like therapy. And this is definitely what I would call one of my more urban pieces, if you want to use that word. So I'm just going to read that. It says, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. The truth is, y'all, we stretch the truth, then act like that lie is gone. Poof. When you think that lie is cheap, remember, you sow what you reap. Karma is a bee, and the Lord don't like ugly. And, oh, yeah, you thought you got away, but, shorty, you were bugging. The man don't care, you got things to do. Uncle Sam don't care, you needed 20 bucks instead of two. Your old man don't care, you need fresh nails, fresh clothes, that fresh hairdo. When the rubber hits the road, you will pay. So, girl, shorty, my homie, don't play. When you think you got game, you will get played. You'll find yourself wishing on the straight and narrow you had stayed." That's a little short piece for you.
Oh, I like that.
Yep.
That piece is just, you know, I don't know how many of you have ever had to deal with a situation with a guy and another one. I know you know what I'm talking about, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
a guy and another woman, and we've all gone through some situations like that. Everybody's isn't the same. But that's just something I went through a few years ago, and I just decided to write it down and put it on paper because,
right.
you know, the women, or what we call the other women, the other woman, she does these things, doesn't think about them, neither does the man. But, you know, I really do believe what the word says about what you sow, you shall reap.
Uh-huh. And I believe that.
That is true.
You
know what? I honestly believe that we all have been the other women.
Okay, that's
you ain't that, did you? You know when you but y'all funny.
Oh my goodness, you just like this. Is it what?
Oh my goodness.
You know why I say that? Because I was with him 19 years. And
uh-huh.
he wasn't all mine. He was with someone else. So I was the other woman. You get it?
You think so?
Because I never
knew him. I was sleeping with the enemy. I never knew him. I never had him from the beginning.
But you know, we may not have had him from the beginning. We may not
right.
have had him 100%. But the bottom line is that was your husband, right?
Well, we wasn't married like you. Me and him wasn't married. You was deeply married.
Okay,
I was in sin.
Yeah. Oh,
I was
okay.
in sin.
Well, but you all were still a committed couple. Let's put it this way.
Yeah. No, he liked the men and women. I was with him 19 years. And see, that's why I say when we think we know these men, we really don't. And I was with him for 19 years. I mean, 19 years. And he, all them years, he was attracted to men and was sleeping to men. And I never knew it. I found out through letters and videotapes. That's how I found out.
But you know what? Yeah, we're going to not get into that too heavy because that's going to be left for September the 11th. Because, And you know, I think that...
When I say I've been abused. You know, I mean, that was a mental abuse, wasn't it?
Right. That was the, well, that was a lot, a whole bunch of stuff going on there that,
That was heavy. And I still stayed. I still stayed because I was in bondage, you know?
But you know what? But in the same breath, one of the things that I'm going to touch on next week, and I will share this, is the fact that, you know, I will tell people, and all these women or men are sitting out there, whomever, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that I don't understand, because I can stand before you and say, I loved everything about the person who I thought the man that I married was.
Yeah.
I loved him, and it hurts like the devil that I have to get a divorce and start all over again. It hurts like no tomorrow. And I love the person who I thought that my husband was. It hurts to the point where I can be bent over in pain. It hurts. But I know that it hurts me enough for me to know that the only way for the pain to stop is for me to keep walking away from this situation. So, you know, most women say I stayed because I loved him. I said, you know what? I loved the fantasy of who I thought he was. But I know that the that the thing that he is not something I would have given one look at or thought to, much less married. So, you know, for me, you know, and that's a good part because each one of us, some of us are coming to it from the, as you said, the married end, the married in the sight of God, you know, civil ceremony, the whole nine yards as in married. Some of us are coming from the common law issue, which means you're not really married, but you've been together long enough where, depending on which state you were in, some states recognize common law marriages. So, you know, each one of us is coming with such a different angle. And one thing that I want to tell people, because I've heard this a lot in the last, like, 2 weeks, is that some people say, makes me not want to get married. Do not, not every marriage is bad. Not every man is bad. Not every spouse is bad. You know, for me, this was my second marriage, his second marriage. For me, until I break Ms. Liz's record, I'm going to keep doing it if I choose to do so. So, you know, I believe in the sanctity of marriage. I believe in all of that. And, you know, it was so funny. One of his former family members called me the other day. And two things that she said was, am I going to stay in my house or am I going to move down south back to North Carolina? Or... And am I seeing anyone, which I thought was odd, because I said, well, we know where that's about to go, because the minute that she hangs up, if he wasn't already on a conference call, it would be, oh, she's seeing somebody. I said, you know, it's bad enough that when his lover rides by, you know, going to mommy and daddy's house and she sees a man on my front doorstep, I see her when she gets on the cell phone, because, you know, the more that she can try to dog me, in her mind, it makes her think that it will make him love her and not me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just so amazing. It could be anybody here. It could be someone here for business. But it's so strange now that, you know, her thing is, I've got to get more dirt on this woman to make him come back to me, because it's evident. You know, I was talking the other night. We had a meeting here for the summit. And some of us had stayed really late. We were out back on the deck. And I told you all, you could literally walk out my gate and walk a few yards and you're at her front door. So anyway, she was in the window and she had the lights on and she had opened the window and she was leaning down like with her ear to the window trying to see, I guess, if she could hear what we were saying. And it's like, I told you all, she's psychotic. And I'm like, you know, my bad. He doesn't live here anymore, so I don't know where your man is. Couldn't tell you. So you can close the window because I'm sure that the AC is on. You know, and go ahead on with your life because he's not here and he's not coming back here. So, you know, these are the types of things that I'll be touching on as well, because sometimes it leads to a whole bunch of interesting behavior. And, you know, these women are not past knocking on the door looking for, you know, my husband. And the last thing they want to hear is, well, my husband isn't home, because, you know, they thought that this was this wonderful single guy that had all these things going for him, and it's just not true. So, you know, and it hurts them to know that they've been played. But then a lot of people, you know, tend to take it out on the female, on the wife or whatever. And it's like, I didn't even know that you existed. So why are you mad with me? You know, why are you calling me out of my name? But, you know, domestic violence has a lot of ramifications to it and different sides to it. And we're going to try to touch on as much as we can. And what we can't, of course, we'll have other little conferences and meetings and things where people can come and share their thoughts on certain things. So,
you know what, Sister Soldier? I she may have been beaten too. You know, I mean,
the
sometimes you don't want it. Huh?
The other woman?
Yeah. Sometimes that's why I say forgiveness plays a big part in healing. You know, that's why your sum is called healing. You know, and that's with even the other party. And, but it took me to stay in my word to forgive, you know, and I had to forgive the other person too. I had to forgive another man for sleeping with my man. So that was a very hard pill to swallow. We gotta understand that everybody is hurting. You know, everybody is hurting, you know, and this lady, the one that's looking out the window and everything, she may be a victim herself. You don't know. He may have jacked her up, because when I found out my mom was being abused for 23 years, well, I found out, I seen it, and her marriage, she's a survivor of domestic violence. From my stepdad, I would say a little bit about that at the summit. However, we found out that the other lady that was my father's mistress, he was beating her as well. My mother forgave her, and they became good friends. He killed himself. So you got to really look at the big picture of everything. That lady is hurting just as well as you is hurting, sister.
Well, said that a while ago.
I believe
ago.
That.
Yeah.
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 And he probably went upside her head.
Well,
I do know
that we can say, you know, my legal team and everyone with everything and all the information that we've acquired on him and all of his women from the dating sites and things, he did treat her and speak to her the absolute worst. I have never known him to speak to any female the way that he carried on conversations through text and emails or whatever, the way he did to her. And one day he even told me just how bad he had cursed her out, because I guess, you know, when she was getting a little bit antsy, like, the wife must know that it's me and blah, blah, blah. He didn't care. He wasn't trying to hear her whining and crying. You know, it's like, you chose to do it, so what? You know, and I said, you did not curse her out. And he looked at me, he said, you know me. And I said, never mind. Yes, you did. And she allowed it. And then you went right back to her. And he said, of course. He said, when her usefulness runs out, you know, she's out of my life. But he said, and when I'm ready, I'll go back to her. Because in the end, when it was coming to the end, he didn't care what he said to me. He didn't care anymore.
Because
his thing was, well, it's all out in the open, so I can do what I want now. You're going to divorce
me.
There
was no more remorse. But he,
you know, and
he didn't have to show no more remorse.
You know, well, he never did show remorse. He doesn't show it now.
Wow.
According to, you know, people that are calling me, telling me things about him, he has regret.
Yeah.
And I said, the only regret that he has is that he got caught.
Wow.
And that he no longer has a home. But I said, you know, he'll find some other woman to take him in and take care of him and let him destroy her world. Because some women are just to that point where they're just that desperate for that warm body next to them at night, that they will accept any and everything. And I know for a fact that, you know, even now that he's gone, they're really hanging out together. And I'm like, does she know that he's on dating sites? Does she know that he's seeing several women? Does she know that he's sleeping with several women? See, it's good for me now, because I'm just the wife that's soon to be the ex-wife, and I'm really on the outside looking in. But I told my attorneys and everybody, I said, until the papers are signed and I'm no longer his wife, I want you to keep track of what he's doing and who he's doing it with and what he's saying and everything.
That's right.
I want to know
that's
everything
right.
he makes until the day that I'm no longer his wife. So I know, and I pity the neighbor's daughter because she's a fool to think that he loves her, but she's still running behind him like a little lost puppy. And I understand, ladies, that you say good men are hard to find and you're tired of being alone and you're tired of being lonely and you just want that body next to you. But, oh, my goodness, sisters, oh, sisters, you know, you have to love yourself more so
right.
than this. And, you know, I wrote a piece,
right.
I actually wrote it for my daughter-in-law many, many years
yeah.
ago as an encouragement piece. And it goes something like, oh, little sister, find your voice. Before you no longer have a choice. You may rise or you may fall, but without that voice, you have no choice at all. You may love or you may feel the sting of life's ugly hate, but without your voice, you allow others to dictate your fate. Oh, little sister, find your voice before you no longer have a choice.
Mm.
And it was inspired by her at the time, many years ago. And, you know, her plight of, you know, being in a new place, not having a job, and just trying to get back on her feet in a new place that she knew nothing about because they had picked up and moved after they got married all the way to Georgia. Then my son was deployed, so she was there alone. And I went down to visit, and, she just inspired me to write that. And it stuck with me because we are so complacent and enjoy sitting in silence. And I'm not saying give the head roll and the hands on the hips and doing the stereotypical
right.
behavior
yeah.
that so many people use to justify why they don't like us as a group of people. It's the fact that we need to understand and voice that opinion and listen to our inner voice, too, and don't silence what's in us. We need to listen to that to know you mean more than that. And I would tell her if she would talk to me, and I have offered her several times, be a woman about this. I have never disrespected you. I have never done anything, called you out your name. But I need to know your side of it. I've heard his. And trust me, if you heard what he said about you, you wouldn't be taken up for this man and all over him like you are. And if you want to go, and I said if she wants to go to the attorney's office and read the file, she's welcome to do so. Because one thing, if that doesn't open up her eyes, nothing will. Because trust me, my divorce file is one heck. It would make for a wonderful movie. Because this thing, my husband has some issues. He has some major, major issues. And out of everyone, every woman, every single one, and we're talking about quite a few here. We're talking about more than 50. I can say unequivocally, whatever the word is, I can't even talk tonight. But anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. He never, ever, ever came off on me. When we first met, when we started dating, he never, ever, ever spoke to me that way. He never came off on me that way. All of this is like, I don't know who this stranger is. And my attorneys knew. They were like, you're actually, this is all strange to me. It's all just foreign to me. And when he's on the dating sites, he will send the exact same letters to hundreds of women all at once, you know, just one after the other. It's like he's cutting and pasting, and then he'll say, I don't know how to work on the computer, but yet you know how to cut and paste and send all of these women the same line. And he even once told me, he said, there's just one woman that said that what he said sounded like it was scripted, and he blocked her right away from the dating site because he knew that she was on to him. But these, and the weird part is that these women respond all the same. And I don't know whether it's human nature or whatever. Maybe some of us are the anomalies in the bunch. But it's almost like a man tells you you're beautiful. Oh, thank you. I am. Okay, he's 49. You're 67. You're not beautiful to him, okay? Okay, seriously, 9 times out of 10, you're not beautiful to him, okay? Do not kid yourself. Now, I'm not knocking some women because some of them are very well kept and they can give some of us younger women a run for our money. But the majority of the women that he goes after, okay, seriously, if it's too good to be true, trust me, ladies, it is. Because he's lying to you.
I really think the whole issue ends up boiling down to self-esteem. And I heard what they...
Yep.
with the, I don't know who that was that was talking, but
Angela,
about, you know, loving yourself, or was that you who said it? I don't know, but whichever one.
Oh, it might have been me.
That was Maria.
Right.
Yeah,
about
okay.
loving yourself. You know, because
right.
it's seriously an issue. And a lot of people walk around with low self-esteem, and they don't even realize they have low self-esteem. They feel a certain
mm-hmm.
way about themselves, but they don't identify it as low self-esteem. And then they are easily, you know, preyed on by these people.
Right.
And I was going to say, you know, myself, I was in a situation where I ended up being the quote-unquote other woman. But
mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything that I walked into knowingly, you know. And then this person, he wasn't married. He was a single person. But, you know, he just happened to be dating somebody else. And I even, you know, asked him, like, why do you do that? Or, you know, why would you think it was okay to date me when you're dating somebody else? And then not just, you know, dating, he's trying to form a relationship. He really, you know, put it on thick. And you know, I asked just because I'm inquisitive about these things. Like, you know, why do you do that? Or why did you do
right.
that? And, you know, he felt like, well, I'm single and I don't have to be tied down. But my biggest issue is with people's honesty. Because
right.
if that's the way you feel, if there's nothing wrong with it, if you don't think there's something wrong with that, then you wouldn't have a problem being totally honest and up
right.
front if that's the way you felt.
Right.
And then give that other person. And that also is a form of control because they're taking
right.
away your choices. They don't give
right.
you choices. They're presenting a story to you so that you do what they want you to do. It's manipulative. It's controlling. And, you know, I dealt with a situation like that, and when I realized that I was actually the other woman, I was gone because I do love myself.
Right.
I love myself too.
Again, you're the anomaly group. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I got right out of there. And you know, a lot of us don't, and I even talked about that with another friend of mine. I was saying, you know, we really don't move as fast as we should.
Right.
When it comes to these
right.
issues, we linger and we allow ourselves to get pulled in deeper and deeper instead of,
right.
and I always make this comment about fleeing like Jacob. We need to flee like Jacob sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, you know, you were exactly right. And it is, I think it's an esteem issue because I think I had spoke on it before that my husband likes to find people that have, where he can prey upon their weaknesses. And he knew that for me, you know, I mean, just in talking to him about me, because I was his wife and he was my husband, you know, I was always picked on growing up because of my darker skin tone. And so he thought that using that against me was going to break me down. And, you know, I don't know if everyone's heard the PSA that I did for the show, you know, where his thing, what he called me, a big, fat, black gorilla, this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you little high yellow snag-a-tooth rascal, you. Are you kidding me? You know, gorillas happen to like bananas. I will peel you like the sorry little scrawny thing you are, chew you up and spit you out. He wasn't prepared for that. He thought that by calling me black this, black, I heard that all my life. You black crispy this, you gorilla this, blah, 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 blah. I might be a gorilla in his eyes, but I'm a smart one, I'm a successful one, and I'm a cute one. So that's all that matters to me. And see, he wasn't ready for that. He was ready, he called me names. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't think so. I've heard all that. And I, like I told him, I said, is that all that you have? Is that all that you got? You know, let me break it down to you in your terms. Is that all you got, homeboy? Seriously? Are you kidding me? Because you know what? The minute that you're gone, trust me, I can either call someone from my past or wait for one of the hounds that have been sitting at the door waiting for us to fail anyway. So you are dismissed like the bad habit that you are. And see, and that bothered him. And it still bothers him because he hasn't broken me down 100%. And that bothers him. Because his thing is every woman, as he put it, And I say this all the time. I said, why do you do it? If it wasn't me, why did you do it? Because it's a bunch of lonely, fat, black women out there, fat, black, lonely women out there, and I'm a man and I can. And I know what they want to hear, and I give it to them and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and I know. And he said, and the minute that, you know, I can curse them out, and when I come back, he said, I know that they'll be waiting for me to come back again. And it's so true. So many women do that. So many women do that. And, you know, and you know, that's a show within itself where maybe we can all come back and start trying to get some women to call up and talk about some esteem issues. Because we need to start taking more pride and love in ourselves. Because this is crazy. It's crazy.
And you know what? I really, honestly, I feel like that is the issue that gives men, or that's what gives men the power that mm-hmm. they have when it comes to things like this. Because they are, you know, the only reason they can get away with it is because we let them. If we let them.
Yep.
So if we all stop letting them, which, you know, may sound, you know, unrealistic, but I mean, honestly, if we all stop letting them get away with this and treating us this way, then who are they going to treat like this? The only other option is for them to get it together. If they want to be with anybody, but because there's always somebody that's going to fall for it, or always somebody that's going to, you know, go with the flow, or whatever you want to call it, then, you know, it keeps happening.
Right. And the worst part is, I don't know, so many people just fall for it, and they fall for it constantly. And you know, I don't know how to help them on that end. That's what this show is all about. Maybe I'll get on another therapist and say, you know what, can we do about this self-esteem issue? Because it's really out of hand now. It's really out of hand now the way that women are carrying themselves. Because now we're allowing ourselves to be used, abused, and then excused. And then we sit there waiting until the same abuser comes back, and then we come running right back and let him abuse, excuse us all over again. And for me, no, I'm out. There's no, let's not wait and see. No, not at my age. No, no. It's like a sorry moment, you know. Hello? Are we all still here, or did we leave?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm here.
Yep, but, you know.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear everybody. But,
okay.
You know, it's just so, it's a sad state that we're in right now. It really is. It's a sad state that we're in right now. And we have to do
better. I think this is definitely why September 11th is going to be very important. You know, I mean, all of this ties in because women who, you know, have been hurt before, there's a lot of different reasons that women have
mm-hmm.
low self-esteem. You don't just, you know, come out of the womb with low self-esteem. It's because of family issues. You know, that occurred as you were growing up that caused you to have low self-esteem, whether it was abusive parents or, you know, you were picked on as a child. I mean, you know, it could be anything. We don't have to stay, you know, we don't have to develop low self-esteem, but then these are the reasons why some people do. Or as they got older, then they got involved in these relationships where, you know, the men treated them a certain way and, you know, they develop low self-esteem. There could be hundreds of ways that they got to the point where they had low self-esteem or where they have low self-esteem. But I do think that it's all surrounding some kind of hurt. So I definitely think that, you know, September 11th is going to be a day of release for some people, or a day of, like you said, it's going to be the start of your renewal. I think that may be for a lot of people because they'll come and they'll hear what they need to hear. because they're hurting. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, I'm excited because I do think that that's what is going to occur.
You know, and I believe that it is. I believe that if we help one, then we've done our job, what's been well done. You know, because
exactly.
that one will then
yeah.
heal and help another and another
exactly.
and another.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it was so odd. So many people had contacted me and they wanted to be headliners and this and that. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, but this is not about, you know, being, you know, it's not an entertainment show. This is
right.
something that needs. It's full attention.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, being it being a party atmosphere. That's not what this is about. This is about a serious issue that's becoming more and more in the forefront each and every day. So
yeah.
this is about raising that awareness and telling people we're out here and we're being hurt every day, whether we be man, woman, whomever, children, we're being hurt. And we need to shed light on this. We as the people, the African-American community, everything is so taboo. We need to stop
mm-hmm.
holding it, all of this stuff in and thinking that it only happens in a community where people don't look like us because it happens across the board. And, you know, it's happening more and more. And this isn't about, you know, being, you know, that's why I didn't have 50 million vendors and things like that. It's not about coming in, letting you shop. You're not here to shop. You're here to get something that you need that's either going to help you next week, next year, or whenever you may need it, or so that you can help someone else who's going through it, or protect your children or a loved one from going through it. That's what this is about. It's not about shopping and this and that. Yes, we do have certain vendors, but they're vendors that are bringing something to the table that I believe will help you feel a little bit better about yourself. You know, you can get something that's uniquely you. You know, I never thought about it, but for me, I think it was Michelle or someone had mentioned that their therapy. I think yours was your poetry and things. Mine is photography. And, you know, when the ladies were here the other night, I have a whole display set up of my work. And they were like, is this going to be at the summit? And I said, I didn't think about it, but I guess I could bring it, you know, to see if people wanted to make donations and take a piece home, if that makes them feel better. Because some people will stand, they'll start talking about the pieces, and they'll see little things in them and ask me all the questions about how I find all these things to take pictures of. Because me, I like to find the beauty in the simple things. I don't photograph a lot of people, but I do everything else in the world. And you know, my first book of my photography was called Silent Beauty, Colors of Nature, because it's the beauty in the small things that mean so much, and people overlook it every single day. They don't look at the intricate details and see little flowers on the side of the road. They don't look and see that there's a butterfly sitting right there in front of them with its wings all pretty and out. They don't see the little ladybug that's on the little thing walking along, minding her own little business or his own, you know, I guess they all look alike. But, you know, they don't notice those. Those are the things that me and my camera see, you know. And I enjoy that, and I find peace in that. And I just recently, maybe, what, a few days ago, started taking pictures again because I didn't know just how bad, you know, living with my husband had affected me. And before we go, I'm going to, you know, shed a little light on my granny panty story because it's so funny that, you know, he had really messed with my mind so much. I had reverted back to my old self when I was like a size 28, 30, 32 or something. I was very heavy at one point in time. And I remember looking into my mirror and I didn't know who that person was. And I had gone out recently because for some reason, when my husband started washing my clothes and things, all of my clothes started to just disintegrate. They were falling apart. So anyway, I went out to the store, my favorite place, and I got this pack of panties. You know, they were like X amount in the pack, and I said, Jesus, I haven't bought any in a while because when he came along, I couldn't shop in my favorite store, Vicky's Secret, or any place anymore. So I bought this pack of panties, and I said, this is probably my size, so this was the beginning of my awakening, I guess. I had come home, and I said, you know, I got them out and put them in the drawer and, you know, had them all nice and placed out. And, you know, the next day I went to buy some of my new underwear because, you know, for females, I don't know about you guys, but I love to feel good and have wonderful undergarments on. I just think that it's just, oh, it's wonderful. So anyway, you know, I go out and I get out the tub and I'm getting all, you know, in the lotioned up and all of this, and I go over to the drawer and I get out my brand new undergarments and I put one leg in and I'm, you know, normal. Put in the other leg and okay, start pulling them up. And then I started pulling them up and then I pulled them up some more. And then by then they were right below my breastplate. And then, you know, after a while they were right above my breast, halfway up to my neck. And I'm like, hold up. And all I had to do was add some straps to them, and I would have had a one-piece swimming suit. And I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm like, you know, mouth cocked to the side, head looking to the side, like, And I'm looking down, and it didn't dawn on me just how bad he had screwed me up in my self-image, that I had reverted back to the very old me. And I bought these undergarments, and I could wear them as a one-piece swimming suit. And it didn't dawn on me until then that, you know what? What on earth is going on with me? And then I knew that it was time for me to start praying, planning, and preparing to get rid of this toxic situation. And it was very eye-opening for me because, you know, it doesn't matter how smart you are, how successful you are. Once, you know, someone has infiltrated your mind like that and your soul and your very being, somewhere along the line you lose track of who you are. So. Did everybody leave me? I'm sorry.
No, I'm here.
I'm still here.
But, you know,
I wanted to say that, and I had mentioned this to somebody. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, Maria, but when I came out of one of the relationships, which is one that I just was talking about, was where I started feeling like I found out that I was the other woman. And then there was a situation that had occurred prior to that. It was just these ongoing things. And, you know, I really felt like I needed to be cleansed, I would say, is the word that came to mind. Like, I just felt I was just tired. I was fed up. I just felt the whole situation made me feel dirty almost. Like, I'm trying to describe it. It was just a really weird feeling that I was walking around with, feeling like, you know, how in the world did I get myself into that? Well, why didn't I see it sooner? I was just going through all these things in my mind. And I really felt like I needed to be cleansed is a word that I'll use. And, you know, I was sitting there one day and I was watching, I don't know how many of you listen to Joyce Myers, but I was watching her and she started talking, and then, you know, she has that little thing at the end of her show where she's talking to the audience, or the at-home audience. And I was listening to what she was saying, and, you know, I was just really feeling what she was saying. And then the next thing that came on, they were talking about fasting. And I really, you know, I said, it's like a light bulb went off in my head, and I was like, you know, I really need to do that. And I'm not saying everybody has to do that, but it's just something that really seemed to help me. I really had to go on a fast, and I went on a fast. And I went on a 21-day fast. And while I was on fast and while, you know, I was communing with God, I was just praying every day. I was reading the Word. I was just meditating and just giving myself quiet time. And all of that caused me to just come to some revelations. And with that, you know, I realized that I had a lot of things that were going through my head and still affecting me, you know, from my son's dad all the way up until the relationship that I had been in. And it's like I had just kept carrying everything from all those relationships on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a revelation that, you know, those things were really still with me. I hadn't forgiven people. I hadn't, you know, just let things go in my heart. I hadn't let the baggage go. And
right.
while I was on this fast, it's just like I was just praying to God just to take these things away from me, to heal me, to, you know, renew me, to refresh me. And when I came out of the fast on the 22nd day, when I came out of the fast, it's like I just woke up and that heaviness I felt was gone. And
right.
and it was even more wonderful because those feelings, and I know people are like, okay, it's 21 days. You're not going to get over it in 21 days. But honestly, I felt like the feelings that I had for, you know, the people in question, it's
right.
like they were just lessons. Nothing, it just didn't bother me as much. And it just looked bright outside. I just felt better. It was just a wonderful experience just to come through that phase and to really deepen my relationship with God. And I recommend, you know, you have your choice to do whatever you feel like you need to do, but that just really helped me and really renewed and refreshed me, and I think it was an awesome experience.
Right. I went on this, what do you call it? I guess you could say a liquid fast, so to speak, where
mm-hmm.
I was drinking all this water, and it just, you know, when you drink a lot of water, not to the point where it makes you sick, but water is a purifying element, and it helps to cleanse your body and your soul. It helps to cleanse it from the outside if you want to take a hot shower, not a bath, because then, to me, when you take a bath, sometimes you're just sitting in there, and all of that stuff is still just encircling you, and it's all around you. But if you take a nice hot shower, you wash, as they say, you wash away those sins and you wash away those problems of the day. And, you know, many times I guess that you all have heard me say, I'm going to take a shower and let the water hit my head and down my neck, because that feels much better to me than if I'm sitting in the tub and I just throw my head back, you know, and wet my hair and all of that. Sometimes it feels better, especially when with my headaches. So there's ways that, you know, so many ways that you can cleanse your body and get your, not just your body itself, but you need to cleanse your spirit and your soul and your mind. You have to free all of that up. And once you do that, it's almost like it's this big weight, and it literally feels like all of a sudden this humongous weight has just been taken off of you. And you can
yeah.
almost jump out of the seat and fly and hit the ceiling because you just feel that lightweight all of a sudden. And, you know, the different, and it's such a different feeling. I guess we're just saying this to tell the listeners, you need to really, when you do it, when you say, and I'm sure Angela can touch on this, when you say that you're going to forgive, you have to mean it, you know?
Yes, you sure do.
You have to mean it
in your heart. Because
you know,
you can
not come back next week. Right. That's like saying, I love you. That doesn't mean anything to me unless you show it. You know, anybody can say, love you. You know, I love you. I love you.
And
you
people
know, but
think that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
We have to forgive, especially if we want our Heavenly Father to forgive us. Look at all the things we have done to hurt people, and He forgave us. I'm quite sure that none of us perfect, and we have fallen short of the glory of God, and we have done some things in our past, even now, to hurt people, and God forgave us. We could be driving in the car and lay somebody out, and say, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry, you know, please forgive me. And He will forgive you, especially if you mean it in your heart. You
right.
have to really forgive. You have to forgive people. If you're listening, you have to forgive. Forgiving is part of healing. That's how you move forward. Yes, it's hard. I'm one witness to tell you that it's hard to forgive. But when you forgive, a load is lifted off of you. I mean, it's just so light. Your load is just so light. So it's a beautiful feeling. It is truly a beautiful feeling. I want to share something, Maria, before I get off the air, and I want to share that I'm talking to people who's listening and including ourselves, that, but mainly the people, because we are overcomers. We overcame our abuse, so I'm talking to the listeners that you could be the next victim, your mother, your daughter, your sister, your brother. And I want to share, enough is enough. Show some courage, show some strength, and be strong, sisters and brothers. That's what I wanted to share.
Yep, and it's so true, and it is so true. And on that note, I think we better get ourselves ready to go to bed, because my head is hurting on the left and right side now. I'm like, you know, sometimes I get so excited about this that sometimes it makes my head hurt worse, and then other times, you know, I'm just so excited about this, and it's, you know, it goes beyond the summit next week. It goes beyond that. It's just, I'm so excited because, you know, I'm thinking down the road, and I'm like, ladies, this floodgate is about to open, and we have to be prepared, because when it opens, it's going to come, and we're going to have to be ready to go. We're going to have to be ready to hit that ground running and do whatever it is, and the path is becoming clear now. It is becoming clear as the bell. And we have to believe and just continue to believe. And we are going to achieve whatever it is, you know, that God has planned for us. This is it. This is it. This is going to be my new tagline. This is it. We're right here now, people. We're coming down. The countdown has begun. It's only a few more steps to lift off. And when it goes, we're going someplace wonderful. It's going to be glorious. Yeah. When we go, we're going to go in a big way. You know, our time is now, and I can feel it, and I know that it's coming. I can feel it, and this is our time now, and we're going to make it happen. We are going to do this because, you know what, because it's not about what I want. It's not about what Nichelle wants. It's not about what Angela wants, or what Angela wants, or what Debbie wants, or anybody else. It's not about what we want. God put us together for a reason. That's a powerful reason. And whatever it is, and, you know, every day it becomes clear. And right now we're walking by faith, and he's ordering our steps. So, you know, the summit
and time is running
beginning.
Out.
It is.
Time is running out.
It is. And people, you know, and some people are like, what they mean time is running out? I'm like, you know what? Tomorrow's not promised to anybody.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's not.
Every
second is not promised.
Every 15 seconds, a woman is being beaten as we speak now by an ex-husband, a husband, or a lover, or even on a date. Time is running out, people. Get out the relationship. Run.
That's right.
And, you know, you have to love yourself enough to know that love never hurts like that. Hurt and love should not be, are not interchangeable. Okay, they're not interchangeable. They're not. They don't mean the same thing. And I know that sitting here, you all say, "Yeah, it's easy for you. It's easy for you." Y'all already been through it. You have to remember something. I'm the one in the bunch that's going through it now, right now. I live in a neighborhood where my husband's lover watches everything I do because she's still trying to figure out where her man is. Okay, when he doesn't want to talk to her, he won't talk to her. And, you know, when he tells her to come and get him and pick him up, she gets in her car and she goes to pick him up because that's the life that she chose to lead. So I'm living here looking at her every day. You know,
I look at my bruiser every day, my children.
Every day. Big Angela is going through her storm right now. I'm going through my storm right now. So don't sit up there and think, oh, you all don't know when it happened to you. No, it's happening to us right now. Right this very minute, it's happening to us. I have cameras all over the exterior of my home to make sure that none of my husband's minions, his little admirers, or him or anybody else or his family or anyone else comes to my home. I have cameras. I have everything to protect myself because that's what I live in. You know, people say, oh, your house is cute. It's da-da-da-da-da. I said, right now, it's still my prison. So I still live in a sense of fear. Yeah. I still live in a prison. It's not my house. It's a house. It's not my home. Maybe someday it will become a home again, but it's not today.
Yeah.
So, again, come September the 11th, we're not going to leave very many stones unturned. And trust me, if we do find one that we don't touch on September the 11th, you better bet it. By September the 12th, we will have it down pat. And the next time you see us, we will have that taken care of and addressed as well. So don't think for one minute that we don't know, because trust me, we do know. We do know from all angles, from all angles. And I even know, for the listeners, there are men that have told me their story. Like I say, and sometimes I say it in jest, but I'm one of the world's ultimate sin eaters. I have heard so much since February when Healing Through Hurt first aired. I have heard so much, and each and every day I hear more and more. And some people say, why don't you get the abusers on? You know what? I can't make anyone talk. I can't make anyone come on. I have a lot of victims who don't want to be hurt. You know, if they come on and they want to talk about it, that's wonderful. But, you know, this show is about helping people to heal in any way that I can. And that's however it comes to me or however it comes to this show. That's the way that we're going to help. And if the abusers want to call in and state their case, you know, feel free. Feel free. Because I'd love to know what your justification is for doing what you've done. I would love to know. And maybe after the summit, I will start putting out a call for the abusers to call in. Tell me your story. Tell me why you do what you do. Break it down. Maybe they'll open up and say what that secret is that's eating away at their soul so much that makes them want to lash out like that to someone. So we never know where it's going to go. All I can say is that Healing Through Hurt is going places. Healing Through Hurt and all of the subdivisions coming out, because each one of these ladies, of course, has their own niche, their own profession, their own business, their own books, their own everything. But we come together for one thing. This is just one small part of of a much larger picture. And as time goes on, you'll each get to know that. And everyone, and when I say each of you, I mean all of our listeners, you'll get to know that it's such a bigger picture than Maria Wall and Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio or the Wall Foundation Incorporated. We have Angela in her book. She'll be going on tour. And eventually, sometimes we'll be together, and other times we'll all be going in from different areas of the earth. I may be in a whole nother country. And Angela may be in Florida or California. And Michelle could be in Arizona or somewhere. We just, wherever it's our time to go, that's where we'll be. And wherever I go, all the ladies will rest assured that they'll be right there with me. Maybe not physically, but in spirit. Because sometimes I'll need to remember all of our little chats and conversations to help me make it through whatever the task is that I'll have before me. And that's the difference here. And, you know, so many people... You know, it's so funny how small my real inner circle is. You know, so many people think that I'm so outgoing and I'm so funny and I'm so witty, but my inner circle is extremely small. It's extremely small. So, you know, with that said, of course, ladies, it is getting late. And, you know, our 45-minute show has turned into almost 2 hours. Again...
To God be the glory.
That's right.
You know, I always tell people, I said, trust me, you know, we'll get to talking and before you know it. But once again, I have enjoyed this. And I believe our listeners will enjoy it as much, and I hope that so many of you, whether it be, like I said, whether it be 10 people, whether it be 100 people, whether it be 1,000 people on September the 11th, we're going to do what God wants us to do.
That's right.
And we're going to sit in our circle, and we're going to talk it out, and we're going to, you know, help to heal, to start that healing process for someone. We will have a therapist on hand. Because we're not therapists. We're just real people with real stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my college experience is in law. You know, if you know, my daughter-in-law, someone calls in hers, she's going to school for psychology, you know. Nichelle's experience, what was yours? Business, wasn't it?
Accounting.
Yours was business. Accounting. Oh,
and,
I'm
happy to say that I am in school for my high school diploma.
Right. That's right.
Yep. I feel special today because yesterday I was in bondage for a lot of years. Not per se saying yesterday, as women people can read between the lines, but I was in bondage for a lot of years and was not able to go to school. So now today I go to school.
There you go. And I mean, hey. You know what? And what I always tell you, don't worry about the meetings or nothing else, school girl. You go ahead on and you do what you got to do, sister, because you know
That's
what
right.
your next step is. You know what your next step is. So, and you know,
I was
and
given
again,
a scholarship for college from, I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Go ahead.
I was given a scholarship for college from Barbara Robinson, my 40th district. And I'm going, after I get my high school diploma, I'm going to college for political science.
Yes.
Okay.
look, not to rain on your parade, but you know my husband got one of his degrees in political science. You need some help?
That is funny. If you can remember, you the one helped me pick it off the computer.
Oh,
do you remember Maria?
Yeah, I remember. And then, well, actually, we were talking about public speaking and something else, and
right.
some kind of way. Everything that you were describing pointed me, you know, towards political science. But
yeah
his degrees in political science and philosophy. So anyway, oh, that's funny. I just thought I'd throw that out there. So you know, and again, for our listeners, you know. It takes a lot of time to get to that point where you can find something to smile about from such tragedy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still standing, and my scars are still healing.
That's right.
I'm still in the midst of my storm, and trust me, I have a long, long, long way to go. But I tell you one thing, I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And that's all that there is to it. And ladies, once again, what can I say? Every time we do this, it's like, wow. You know, it's just great, and wow, that's all I can say. It's just so amazing.
I definitely enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too. Thanks for having me on this evening.
Wow. And, of course, again, thank you for joining us again here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I am your host, Maria Wall, and I would thank my guest panelists tonight, Angela the Voice Davis and Miss Michelle Johnson for joining me here this evening on our show, our last show before, of course, the first annual Healing Through Hurt Women's Summit for Domestic Violence Prevention. That is our focus this year, and it will continue to be our focus until, you know, we see that there's a drastic or major change. And we do hope that you all will come out and see us next week, September the 11th.